much like if you ask me questions, if you have any queries, if you have any thoughts, anything at all, if I can discuss it with you all. Even if I don't know the answer, I'll say so. But I would very much like if you interact with me. You know, we make it an interactive session rather than me just talking alone. I have a few clippings, video clippings of great masters of Indian music, great masters of the 20th century. Some of them are still playing, some of them have departed very recently, in fact, in the last 3-4 years. But the clippings are of extremely highly superlative performances. Maybe the video themselves are not as good in quality because they are over the last 15-20 years, but the performances are very important and very good. To start with, I shall talk about what music means to a typical Indian person. In India, we have music right from birth to death. We have music for every occasion. We have music for every time. We have music for every celebration, every festival. We have music even for seasons. And we have music even for harvest. We have music for plowing. We are essentially a farming country. So, folk music forms the basis of one classical music. But even before folk music was recognized as folk music, there were chants, and there were shrutis, and there were notes. To give you an example, in India, on a day-to-day basis, every single family, every single housewife, or I would say even all the members of the family, they have something called prayers, and all the prayers are sung. India is perhaps the only country in the world where we have melodic traditions to poetic meters. Did you ever discuss this? We have melodic traditions to poetic meters. Even the poetry that was written 5,000 years ago in Sanskrit was composed to a melody. And those melodies are still active. They are still alive. They are sung in temples and in family, in homes. And this brings me to a very important point in music of India, that religious music forms a very important part and foundation of all music. Religion doesn't form the foundation, but the religious music, devotional music, I would say. Devotional music is a very important part. And in fact, that's the only music that has not changed for hundreds of years. It's still sung and practiced in temples as it used to be, even 500 years ago, maybe 800 years ago. And those poetic meters, those rhythms are still transmitted to all of us, and we sing them, we practice them. And there are no alterations, there is no nothing, no change. And people enjoy that because that becomes a very, spiritual music for them. Even the instruments that are played, that were played about 500 years ago, are still active in some of the temples. I myself have gone and seen in northern India, many temples where the instruments that were made about 500 years ago are actively used in front of the deity. And there's a variety of instruments, there's a variety of tonalities in percussion as well as in string and wood instruments, woodwind instruments as you would call it. You know, we have two big festivals, Diwali and Holi. Have you heard of Diwali? Anybody's heard of Diwali? Diwali is on 17th of October. It's like what you have Christmas. It's the biggest festival. And Holi is the festival of colors. That's exactly 6 months later, so that comes in March. And for these festivals, we have maybe, you know, hundreds and thousands of years old compositions that are still sung. We have basically two essential classical systems in India. The northern system, differ quite drastically from each other in their execution and in their approach to music. I come to the classical part now. The South Indian classical music, which is the Carnatic music, is almost 95% fixed in compositions and 5% improvised, whereas the North Indian music that we know as classical music in India is only 5% composed. The only thing which is composed is the composition. The rest, elaboration and the expression, is on the spot. But of course, it's on the spot because of years of training and practicing. And then eventually, it becomes your own music. We also have a tradition of oral music. Indian music has been started to be written only since last 100 years. It's only very basic notation of compositions. We do not read music and play. We cannot play written music. Because I will demonstrate to you why that is so also. There are a lot of microtonal details that come into the music, and it's not supposed to be read and played. All you have to read is the composition. You have to learn how to interpret it and practice it so much that it becomes your own. And no one reads and plays. If they do that, it doesn't sound music to an Indian ear, and it doesn't sound like an Indian music. It's only reference. The other thing, important thing about Indian music is that all instruments, they follow vocal music. Vocal music forms the backbone of all Indian music. If I'm wrong, please correct me, but the way you have divisions in Western European music, you have cello, you know, double bass, you have violin, viola, you have this whole family of fabulously divided octaves. Am I right?
Yeah.
You know, this fabulously done, and you move in only a certain area. In Indian music, we have, it's taken for granted that an instrument would move about three and a half octaves. A single instrument, and a vocalist is supposed to have a range of about 2.5 to 3 octaves, and the vocalist does all the work. You know, it's quite easy that they practice and they move around to that. But essentially, all the instruments follow vocalized music. So vocal compositions become extremely important to all of us. I mean, when we are told and we are taught to remember, memorize, and play as many vocal compositions as we can as instrumentalists. Plus, the sitar that I've got here, I'll show it to you. Talk about this a little later. The sitar, there are string instruments and there are wind instruments, melodic instruments. So, in string instruments family, we have extremely important instruments like sitar, sarod, veena, and the sarangi, which is a gut instrument, a bowing instrument. And in the wind instruments, we have shehnai, we have the flute, the bamboo flute, and we have many other instruments which have their own color. The string instruments are highly developed, especially because veena was supposed to be the oldest instrument of goddess of knowledge, Saraswati. You know, we have these. Yes, that's one more important thing. All the gods and goddesses, we don't have one god, we have thousands of them. And all the gods and goddesses play some instruments. They are all musicians. I mean, Lord Krishna is a flutist. And Lord Shiva, he plays the damru. It's a drum. And he's a dancer also. Lord Krishna is also a dancer. I mean, they have names which describe their dancing abilities. Saraswati, Ma Saraswati, Mother Saraswati, as we call her, she is the goddess of knowledge and she plays the veena. And one thing. Thank you. entertainment in the last 400 years or 500, 300 years maybe, but music was essentially performed in temples. And Indian classical music developed out of temple music, out of what was offered to God. So music is always supposed to be an offering to God. So the most compositions, traditional old compositions, they are always about in praise of the Almighty. Something like what you have, what Bach did, you know, when he composed those beautiful pieces. As I was talking about different instruments, we talk about vocal music and we talk about following vocal music and following vocal music to the T. But these instruments also have their own language. The instruments also have their own strokes and their language, which cannot be copied by vocalists. So some of these instruments have evolved in multi-direction, vocal direction and instrumental direction. When I play to you, I demonstrate to you both the things. And there are kinds and kinds of compositions. One of the type of vocal compositions has been borrowed from the instrumental language, and that's called tarana. So tarana is one of those. Okay, now I should talk about the music itself, rag music. Rag music is very different from any other music of the world because of its certain attributes. I shall play to you also as I talk. What is a rag? Has anybody heard the word raga before? I mean, have you all heard of the rag? What do you understand a raga to be?
Some kind of reef.
Sorry?
Some kind of reef, what somebody would call a reef on an instrument like a guitar.
Guitar?
Yeah.
Ragas that
like it. Some collection of notes, really.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
A certain collection of notes.
Certain collection of notes. That's one of the things. Anybody else? Anybody else can tell you what a raga is? It's very true what he said, a certain collection of notes. But I shall elaborate to this. It's a collection of notes, of certain notes, played with a certain amount of time given and a curvature given from one note to another. What you call portamento and oscillation. We call it meed and andolan. So that portamento, the time taken from one note to another, forms the basis at the heart of a rag. And that is a unique quality of Indian music. You don't have this, you don't see this in anywhere, not African music, not Arabic music, not Japanese music, not Far East, not European, not American music. You don't have these applications in to such a detailed extent, and the applications make a lot of difference. In fact, they determine the rag, which means you can have a set of notes, same set of notes in three different rags, but if you change the timing, if you change the movement, if you change the importance of certain notes, the rag changes. Am I making it a little clear or is it confusing? Is it making sense? I'll demonstrate this to you. You'll have to just give me a minute because the sitar fell down and I'll lead you out. Thank you. You must be wondering why I switched on the mobile. This is... Is my voice reaching you all? Should I just make this? Hello? Is my voice reaching you?
Yes.
Okay, this, what is playing, is a tanpura. It's a recording of a tanpura. It's a huge instrument like this. It's like a very big sitar, minus the frets. These are the frets. It's a huge instrument which you play, just with four notes. So it plays the tonic and the fifth. It plays like this, something like this. Our whole singing is done just to sa and pa, what is called the first and the fifth. People sing, there are no chords, nothing else. It's just everything is tuned to tonic. So we have, our music is monophonic, as we call it. It's not harmonic music. We have no chords, we have no counterpoints, we have no score. We build our thoughts around this. Now, as I was saying, there are 10 main scales. Okay, Indian music has, the rags have been divided into 10 major scales. Major, not major as in Western major scales, not major and minor. Major scales and 10 main scales. From these scales, we classify all the rags. The rags were there much before. The scales have been evolved since 100 years by Pandit Bhatkhande, by Dr. Bhatkhande. The rags have been around for 500 years, almost more than that, maybe. Some of the rags have changed their structures. The names have remained the same. But since there were no recordings, there was no notation system, we don't know what they sounded like 500 years ago. We only have compositions which have been handed over vocally, you know, from a teacher to a student, and then again that student to his student. And that's how these compositions have survived and rags have survived. Now, for example, I'll play you the one scale of Kafi, which is similar to your minor scale. This is rag, the notes of rag Kafi. This does not make rag Kafi. Rag Kafi, this is not a rag, these are just the notes. But if I do this, now the timing here. This is a movement of rag Kafi. This is the core movement. This is not rag Kafi, but the minor notes are oscillated, and the timing taken from one note to another in the phrase. For example, this would be a straight note. And straight notes have a certain place, but not to determine a rag. Now, in the same collection of notes, called Bhim Palasi. What they do in the ascending, they omit two notes, and coming back, you have all the seven notes. It becomes a new rag. I've omitted the third and the sixth in my ascending. Like a family of rags. Kafi, the first one which I played, that's the family. And each rag coming out of that scale of thaats will have some similarity. It's like you have a family and there are five sisters. They all look similar, but they don't look identical. They have different nature, different temperament. They have different walk, different height, but they have something common. So it's like that. So I'll play another rag from the same scale of Kafi. You know, now here I omit the second and the fifth. In my ascend and descend, I take all. Basic. But the melody will not go like this. Now the importance is on the fourth note, on my... Is it coming across or is it too detailed? This has got... If I do this... is another rag. If you have any questions, please do ask me. But is this making a... Now we are all in the same family, but they are different rags. The fourth one is called Pilu. It's a lighter piece. So it takes all notes, but the main structure remains within Kafi. I was thinking of playing that as a demonstration, which I'll do later, but just now, just to explain to you. The importance here was, what I just stated was Bageshri. It was a rag called Bageshri. when the importance to the note changes, we have the octave is never an octave, it's a seven note, so we call it saptak. So it's divided into seven notes. So from we have sa re ga ma pa, this is your first five notes, and then you have the next five notes. So you have the first half and the second half. So if your most important note of a raga is in first half, it's called purvang, then the its counter note should be in the other half. Otherwise it's not a raga, it's just a melody, a tune, anything. It cannot be a raga. And it should have phrases that are complementary. For example, in Kafi raga that I play, this is my purvang. This is the answer, uttaram. And then you have, you can join the two, the, you have a connecting melody also, you know. The resting points are very important in a raga, where you stop, where you pause. And where you cannot stop anywhere you want, anyway, because then you change the mood of the raga. It's a bit like let's say three brothers, and if it's dark and yet there are three of them are walking, one of them is walking, the mother would be able to tell that which one is coming just from the way he's walking, from the way the personality, you see. So the timing taken to approach your note or to approach your phrase is what makes a raga also a raga. You know, there is no definition of a raga, but there are many attributes to a raga. There are many things that make a raga raga, and otherwise it's just a song or a piece of music. It's not a raga. A raga is really like a personality. Another thing, I will come to Pilu a little later and I'll play an elaborate piece for you later on. But another thing, important thing is that when we have these set of notes, we don't play them like the way I play it right now. We play them slowly, we elaborate them, we go phrase by phrase, and slowly the unfolding of a raga is the most important part of a classical exposition. This unfolding is called alap, and that is what makes a raga. You never have a raga in a speed. Speeds does not make music in Indian music. Speed is just a flash of brilliance, as you know, as it would be, you know, virtuosity. But speed never is taken to be a measure for good music or goodness of music. It's only a measure of of practice and good command over the instrument or voice. But a rag is never into speed. So there, a rag is always into the slow elaborations, and a rag is a mood that is captured slowly. Then we have structures in a rag elaboration. We have structures like I just explained to you, alap. And we have different structures for instrumental music. We have different structures for vocal music. So for instrumental, we have instrumental, of course, it follows vocal music. But nowadays, vocalists not do such an elaborate alap the way instrumentalists do. So we have alap, which is undiscernible tempo. With a very undiscernible tempo. There is a tempo, but it's an abstract tempo. Then comes a rhythmic tempo, but it's still an alap, you know. And then it goes into a faster rhythm. It's still within the alap. The second section of the recital would be with the tabla player. Tabla is the rhythm instrument, and it's a very important percussion in Indian classical music. Anybody has heard any tabla music before? You know, anybody has heard of any tabla player, good tabla player from India? Yes, tell me. I've got some very nice videos of Ustad Zakir Hussain. He's a great master of tabla. He's world's greatest tabla player. I've got his two clippings today for you people to see. And how much time do we have? 45? Yeah, okay. So I'll get on with the clippings now. And then I'll play a bit. I have some fantastic clippings which I want to show you. But before that, I wanted to just elaborate on what they are doing so that you can understand what they are doing. In a classical composition, let's say almost half the recital is done without the percussion. People listen quietly and they enjoy it. So that is the internalized part of the music. I mean, an instrumentalist shuts his eyes and plays. He does not look out and doesn't have any eye contact. He's not supposed to have eye contact. He's supposed to look within and just listen to himself and play. But of course he knows, you know, and if the audiences don't react to a certain part, he changes. He's clever. He's supposed to be clever. So he changes those parts. Since it's not written music, you can change whatever you want. It's very, very democratic. It's dynamic, democratic. You can do what you want. But as long as it gets across to people, because ultimately it's about communication. Any music is about communication. And we have a brilliant communicator here. I saw him perform in Bombay 1 month ago, and he conducted the whole orchestra fabulously. And in fact, I have never seen in Tata Theatre the audiences singing, and he made them sing. The 1,000 people singing Edelweiss, Sound of Music. I was also singing. It was superb. It was superb. His recital, let me tell you, I mean, he is your professor, but he's a brilliant, brilliant conductor. And he made the whole audiences, there was an encore, and he made them sing Edelweiss, and he himself also sang along. I've never seen any conductor singing in any concert, but that was communication. And it got across as something brilliant. It was, I mean, I felt that I had never seen and enjoyed a concert, classical Western concert, so much as I did this, because Sound of Music is, everyone knows Sound of Music. We grew up on that. Coming back to communication, we have a tabla player who comes almost half the concert later. And with the tabla comes the external part of performance. You have the composition, and you have, then your brain takes over. You know, so far your heart was playing, then your brain also comes along in terms of what you do cleverly with the beats. Now, this whole system of beats is called taal. Taals are not just beats. They also have their language. If I have 8 beats, I have many taals in that beat. Just like I explained rags to you, that we have a certain set of notes and you have many rags in those notes. Similarly, in 8 beats, anybody is doing the drums here, or anybody is into rhythms here? No? So, yeah. So for example, if you have, to demonstrate to you, the 16 beat cycle, it's not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 1. It's not just that. It's got a language. Dha, dhin, dhin, dha, dhin, dhin, dha, dha, thin, thin, ta, ta, dhin, dhin, dha. And it's got a tempo. This is the middle tempo. Then you have, when it goes faster, it goes dha, dhin, dhin, da, 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 dha, dhin, dhin, so on. So this is a 16-bit cycle, which is very important. And within that cycle, the composition is built into that cycle. And that's the only part that is fixed. The rest of what the musician does is improvised. And we will see some clippings of that, how they do it. I took this taal because some of the examples that you're going to see are based on this taal. So you'll be able to relate to them. Even the vocal example, as well as the flute and the sitar example, they are based on this taal. And the tabla accompanist, also there is a solo tabla tradition. Tabla solo is a very evolved instrument in terms of language and schools of music, kind of tabla playing. There's kinds and kinds of schools of music. Just like in sitar, there are kinds of sitars. I mean, we have the great maestro Pandit Ravi Shankarji, we have the great maestro Ustad Vilayat Khan,
We have Ustad Halim Jafar Khan. We have Nikhil Banerjee. They play different kinds of sitars. They have a whole different schooling of sitars, you know, a different way of holding the sitar even. And their tuning is different. The strings they use are different. And I follow Vilad Khasab's style. And I can only talk about that style with authority because I've been following and doing practicing in that style. But yes.
Ravi Shankar the same type?
No, I just mentioned to you. There's Ravi Shankar ji is Maihar Gharana, Maihar School of Music, and Ustad Vilayat Khan is Itawa Gharana. They are two different, they are the two pillars of sitar. And there are others as well. There is a Senia Gharana, and those musicians, Mustaq Ali Khan Saab, they are different, he is different. And they have, the tuning is different, the instrument looks different slightly, you know, the sizes are different, the way you hold it is different. It's a bit longer,
yeah.
And it's they use one more pumpkin shell here. This is a pumpkin shell, by the way. This is pumpkin. Did you know that? And this is these are the horns of deer. When they shed the horns, you're supposed to, you know, make. And this is, there's one brass string. The rest are steel strings. And this is wood. This is a wood. And the older the wood, the better it sounds. So, you know, from old buildings, from 200-year-old buildings and 300-year-old buildings, if you get bamboos, if you get these darns, and you use them for making the sitar or instruments, the sound is really very good. So the older the wood, the better the sound. Yeah, I just play to you. We play. This is a main string that I play, but we do go down. We do go down. Ravi Shankar ji has a. Older school, that he follows the older style of sitar. So in the earlier days, the sitar used to go down. But what happened was with my school of music, that they evolved a bass instrument called surbahar, and that was only, it was like how you have cello and violin, viola. So it was like they evolved a bass section of the instrument. So they did away with this third string, which was the bass string. And you have, all this. You do turn this, but you don't go to. You use this. Follow. But as I said, we have 2.5 octaves, so we go from. Okay, so please ask me questions. I like it if you ask me questions before I go to other demonstrations. Now what happens when the tabla player starts? What the vocalist does is, they have another composition, they start, and slowly, the vocalist as well as instrumentalist, they go to a faster tempo. It's from slow to fast in alap, and also from slow to fast in with the tabla in the second part. And at the end, of course, the speed, all that happens only later, at the end. If it's to happen, if they want it to happen, it happens at the end, but doesn't have to be there. What I'll do is, I'll play to you some clippings of some masters we have about 20 minutes of clippings, and then I'll play a short piece. As I told you, we follow vocal music. So first, I'll play a clipping of a vocalist to you. She's a contemporary vocalist, an extremely good one. In fact, there is commentary with the clipping so that you will be able to understand what she's doing. You will see in this clipping that there's a tanpura. I mentioned to you about what this is. What this is playing is what? That she will have her student playing the tanpura at the back. There will be a tabla player who's accompanying her. And she's taking some fast passages.
In this section of the video, one of India's leading classical singers, Veena Sahasrabhudey, takes us through a complete raga performance. The singer is accompanied.
It's come?
No.
You cannot see.
By a Bharat Kamath on a pair of drums called tabla. The tabla maintains the rhythm of the performance.
When that gentleman came, it was working.
Ja.
No?
Dort drauf sieht man es denn, gell? Das ist gemein.
Well, you're seeing this, but you're not seeing the image.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, did you see this then? That's strange.
Try to play.
It just has come off.
No, it's on. Everything's on.
Another player? Media player?
Yeah, try to play the media player.
Okay.
In this section of the video, one of India's leading classical singers, Veena Sahasrabhudey, takes us through a complete raga.
No, he did something here, and he...
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can see it's...
Okay.
Okay, you want to try with a media player?
Yeah, perhaps. Media player?
Didn't we try it? It was working when we tried earlier.
Yeah.
See if it works.
Mm-hmm.
Is it working?
No. No. How come?
This is coming. Okay. How is this?
I know.
Was spannend gegen ist, dass das so einstößt, dass das nur auf dem Bildschirm sich sind da nicht, dann schafft es die Grafikkarten immer. Aber ich weiß es nicht, wie die da kurz bevor dann.
Is it something to do with this?
I have another trick, yes, to make it with this.
FN4, also Vierer drauf.
Ja, okay. So.
No?
No, so it's a complete.
Just back? Yeah, that gives you a second. No.
I thought it was working.
No?
What happened? It went off.
Yeah. Okay, and now you can try.
But I can't see it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I can't see that. Can you just press it once again?
Mm-hmm.
By both of them can be seen. Yeah.
No,
is it gone or is it there?
No, it's gone now.
Mm-hmm. No, it's there.
Okay.
Meinst du?
Ist das so?
Nein. Ich glaube, das.
In this section of the video, one of India's leading classical singers, Venusat Sribadeva, takes us through a complete raga performance. The singer is accompanied by Palak Kamath on a pair of drums called tabla. The tabla maintains the rhythm of the performance. Prabodh Marathi plays the harmonium, which provides a melodic counterpoint to the singer. Three of Veena's young students are also on stage, occasionally giving vocal support. The stringed instrument played by Veena and two of the students is called the tanpura. It provides a drone throughout the performance.
Now this is a Carnatic recital of one of the greatest legends of Carnatic music, which is a South Indian style of singing, as I discussed with you earlier. And she's singing a fixed composition composed by Muthuswami Dastidar. You can read his name. He was a sage and a composer 300 years ago. What you will see with her is the entire section is singing the same composition and all the variations are also fixed. So the South Indian music system has got fixed music, pre-composed variations as well. And she is a legend. She passed away about 10 years ago. She sang a lot of devotional music, and she is revered a lot by everyone in India. M.S. Subbulakshmi. If you notice, there's a violin accompanying her. Now, violin for 300 years has become an Indian instrument for Indian classical musicians. They do not even hold the violin the way Europeans hold it. They have evolved their own technique, and there are brilliant violin players, but many people even forget that it's not an Indian instrument, like the harmonium isn't. So violin has been adapted in Indian classical system as a very, very important instrument for Indian music, because it's very, very close to vocalization. You will see that whatever she's singing is being repeated by the violin player at the same time. This was extremely different from the first vocalist you heard. She was singing the North Indian style of music, and this lady was the South Indian style of music. There were a lot of oscillations, if you noticed. The singing was a lot of oscillations. Now, the same rag I would like you people to hear on the flute, which is, it's a Carnatic rag, South Indian rag, adopted by the North Indians, and you will hear it being played by the greatest flute maestro, Pandit Hariprasad Chaurasia, accompanied by the greatest tabla player, Ustad Zakir Hussain. It's the same raga. Thank you. Any questions till here? You see Zakir Hussain playing tabla teen tal that I showed you. Da din din da da din din da. But the way he was playing, he was taking his own variations, because those fixed compositions, that's just the basic language. But what you can do and what you can, how you can improvise, if you notice the other tabla players, you will also see with rhythms what they do. What I have now is the greatest sarod player of all times, Ustad Ali Akbar. Ustad is the how do I translate Ustad to you? When you say Ustad, his name is Ali Akbar, but when you say Ustad, it means the expert. You know, it's a way of saying in India, we don't just say Ali Akbar, we say Ustad Ali Akbar, you know, maestro. It's another equivalent of that. So this is Ustad Ali Akbar. Now he's playing the second stage of the alap, which is called the jod, the rhythmic part, which is without, before the tabla starts. And he's playing a raga called, evening raga, called Shri. The instrument he's playing is sarod, which is a fretless instrument. Again, it is, it's on its own, it's a very, very deep tone and a fantastic, sound that it has. And this gentleman, Ali Akbar Khan, is the greatest sarod player that the world has seen. And I've got a clipping from there. Two ustads, two great masters of two different instruments, clippings of those. I talked about vocal music and how sitar, on sitar you play vocal music. I have a clipping of the great ustad Vilayat Khan. He's actually singing his composition and playing. And this is a live recording done about 15 years back in London. This great master of sitar passed away 3 years ago, and he is, I think, in my opinion, one of the greatest ever. You will see him singing and playing, and it's a rag called Rag Hamid, which is a late night melody, and it's set to Teen Taal again, and you will see how he's improvising and playing.
Thank you.
last clipping of Ustad Bismillah Khan. Shehnai is another very important instrument. It's a traditionally it was a folk instrument which was played for weddings and temples. It became a classical instrument since this great master of music brought it to the concert hall. And it's taken that Bismillah Khan is Shehnai and Shehnai is Bismillah Khan. It's one and the same thing. Is a bit like oboe in tonality. Any questions? Anybody has any queries? Please ask me. Yes, please ask. I'd be very happy.
How expensive is your instrument?
This?
Yes.
In terms of rupees, I can tell you, or dollars, euros, what am I doing? When this particular instrument has been made by Hiren Roy, who is no more, he's the greatest sitar maker in the world. And I was 20 when I went to order this instrument, and he says, you come after 1 year, I will make it for you. And I went after a year, and at that time, now it costs, this would not, even if I pay 1 lakh of rupees, how much is that in euros? I wouldn't get it for 5 lakhs even. I'd never get it anywhere, because this is Hiren Roy. It's the rarest thing.
What's the exchange rate right now?
70 rupees. So that's €1. So let's say, I can't get the instrument this anymore. This particular instrument, even if you give me Mackinac's gold, even then I can't get it. But typically a sitar would cost about anywhere between, I would say, a good sitar would cost between 25,000 rupees to 50,000 rupees, which is.
I was just wondering, sounds from the clips do probably sound quite exotic to the average European ear. For example, me. What kind of theory is there behind the music? Is there any theory that's comparable to the theory of European music, European classical music, or
theory?
And if so, yeah. Has it changed over the years, over the centuries? Has it?
The basic premise.
Kind of
innovation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The basic premise of Indian music is spiritual. The basic premise. It's supposed to take you internally. It's supposed to make you feel with peace at home, inside, peaceful. Also connect with yourself, internal self. It's not spiritual in terms of any particular religion or devotion.
It's connection within yourself. It's your own thing. It's your own progress. It's your own satisfaction and own. That is the first premise.
Sorry to interrupt you. But what about technical things like intonation or?
Yeah,
okay.
It's. I'm coming to that. Internationally, 100 years ago, the way the sitar was being played, that's not the way we play now. What you heard, this gentleman, Vlad Khan, he's designed this sitar that I'm playing. He's changed the whole concept of a sitar. There's nobody in the world, no sitar player in the world who doesn't follow him. He's innovated it so much. But his father had also taken it further than where it was. He's their seventh generation of musicians, so his grandfather innovated. But if you hear those recordings now, of 1905, we have those recordings. They sound so basic. What was supposed to be so great at that time? So the music has gone ahead. Music and the technique has gone ahead. And it's also over the years, traditionally, Indian music, rag music has always taken influences from the Middle East, from Iran, from everywhere. You know, the word sitar is very similar to an Iranian instrument called sehtar. Okay? They have an instrument called sehtar. But it's not the same instrument. We have tabla, they also have something called tabla, but it's not the same thing. And we have a rag called Yaman. Do you believe this? We have a rag called Yaman. I was going to play it today, but I said I'll present something else to you. So a lot of instruments, a lot of musical ideas have been exchanged because we had Mughal invasion for 300, 400 years. We had Mughals ruling us, and then the British came. So that's how British European music came into India, because of the British. British ruled us for 300 years. So all those influences have come. Now it's become global after the keyboards have come and Yamahas and all kinds of tones have come. And so everything, people are into tones now. People are into, that invasion is very bad in Bombay. It's horrible. It's because there's no language anymore. It's only tonalities, you know. You just press a note. You don't hit a note. You don't play a note. You press a note. There's a difference, you know. When to do this, a keyboard has to do nothing. He has to just press it like a typist, you know. So it's the whole idea, whole approach to music has become so superficial for commercial composers in India. It's not no longer music because they don't understand even how to tune in. It's all tuned in for them. It's all on a switch. It's just now my sitar fell down and you all saw I took a while to tune it because I had to tune it. I cannot play without tuning it. So that never happens with Yamahas and Casios and all kinds of things that you have. You just buy it. It's very easy. And you can buy these tones, but you cannot buy the language. You cannot buy the expression. You cannot buy the heart and the soul. Isn't it? I'll play for a short recital. We have 10 minutes. I will. Any other questions, please ask. Yes.
I wanted to know something more about this tal system of beats.
Yes.
If an example of 16, it would be like 4 times 4.
Yes.
And is it always like such a big number to be...
No, you have 8, you have 6 also. Suppose if you have 6 beats, all right? The shortest tal, let's say. It's a... So it's dha, dhi, na, dha, dhi, na, dha. The first beat is very important in Indian music. The first beat is where the heart and soul of the composition is. So how you arrive at the first beat after you've sung the composition or played the composition, that is where the genius lies. And the greater the composers, the greater the players, the more complex patterns they make, and they come to that, the way they come to the first beat is where people go crazy about that. That's the thing. I mean, you saw the way he was playing and the way he was coming. It was an offbeat that he started with, and he was coming with a complex pattern and coming to the first beat. And the tal, now for example, dha, dhi, na, dha, ti, na,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But you also have other tals. You have dhinna, 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 dhinna. That's another tal completely. So that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? 1 and 2, 3 and 4 and 5. So dhinna, dhinna, dhinna. So I'll play differently. Dhinna, dhinna. You get the idea? You get what I'm saying? So each tal has got different... Each tal may have different patterns of playing also. You have an 8 matra tal. 8 beat. Dhage na dhinna kaitin. Dhage na dhinna kaitin. 4 plus 4. Dhage na dhinna kaitin. Dhage na dhinna kaitin. But you have dhadha, dhatraka dhin din, dhadha tin tin, dhatraka dhin din. You have different tals. Dha din, dha dha, tink ta ta, tink ra da. Another one. You have 8 beats, but you have different tals. Just like you have the same notes and you have different rags. You have so many patterns, and they have, and within those, the whole complex structures are built by very good players. I hope that answers your question. I shall play a small recital for you, if you like. We don't have much time. 5 minutes? In Rag Pilu. This rag also comes from Kafi Thaat, as I told you earlier. But the most important notes here are, and
oh.
Schönes zu hören gibt. Morgen um 17.30 Uhr gibt es so einen ähnlichen Vortrag nochmal. Und morgen am Vormittag um 11 Uhr wird er dann berichten über seine Commercial Music, also Werbungen und Bollywood und so weiter, was alles dazu gehört. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions? Any more questions?
What part of Iraq did you play now?
I played the Alap, the first part. I told you the first part, which is elaboration. If you noticed, I touched slowly, I went up. I touched notes slowly, and it was not just... just one more minute, I'll take. It was just not... not just... that's a scale. But... Slowly, you progress. You go, you touch the notes, you touch phrases, and you progress. But this was essentially the alap. Yes, please tell.
For how long time does a sitar player has to study his instrument?
Study the
yes,
instrument?
Yes.
There's no end.
No end.
There is no end. I've been learning for 30 years, and I think there's so much more I have to do. There's no end to it. There's because I find myself evolving different techniques now, and I feel I could work on certain parts more, and certain ideas come, and there's no end. Really, there's no end. I don't think the more we study, the more we do, the more we think there is more to do. Thank you very much, all of you. What the? Oh. Okay, I have another. All right, it's okay. But did you get anything at all? Me playing
yes,
little bit,
at
even
first,
little bit.
At first, maybe half an hour or something like that.
Okay, that's fine. That's
and
okay.
And
okay.
Right. One, two, three.